Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad y'all are here today. Glad you're with us. We do have a few visitors, but I don't see very many. But we do have a few. We're glad that y'all are with us today. And I hope that everything goes well today. I hope this encourages you to come back and be with us again at our next appointed time. Don't forget, we are leaving today at 4:30. I moved it back to 4:30 because my wife said we don't want to stand around very long. We want to get right there and get right in and get after it. And so I'm used to getting there at least 30 minutes early, and she doesn't, yeah. So we're leaving at 4:30, which means you better be here before 4:30. Because the band is pulling out at 4:30. So come and be with us. We're going to Pencil Bluff tonight. And it's a good time for everybody to be with all those other individuals that are Christians, that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's always good to be with them as well. Now, I want to start off with a confession. Yesterday, I missed the first half of the Razorback football game. It was awful. It was awful because what happened was my wife made me go to the Downton Abbey movie. Yeah, made me, and that was a make. She made me do it. I went to the Downton Abbey movie. And when I got there in the theater was almost full. There was a lot of people in the theater. And so I was looking around to see how many men that the women made go to this movie. And there was a bunch of them. And we sat right next to this couple. And I was shocked to hear this man that was sitting next to Kathy that was explaining everything about the movie to his wife. And I go, that ain't right. But fortunately, I did enjoy the movie, but I did get to see the second half. First half was supposedly the best half. I did get to see the second half. But anyway, I wanted to apologize to you Razorback fans over there that I didn't get to see the whole ball game. I didn't come up here to talk to you about that, though. What I came up here to talk to you today about was faith. Faith. And if you have your Bibles, you need to mark a verse in your Bibles that is the definition of faith. And I have that highlighted in my Bible. There's not many places in the Bible that gives you a specific definition of something that is talked about so often. But here, it is talked about specifically. And that verse is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you want a definition of what faith is, circle that definition. Now, we hear about faith all the time, that faith without works is what? Faith requires action. Faith requires action. You believe it, and therefore you act upon it. That's what faith is. Faith requires you to do something about it. You can't just say, well, I believe that and go on and not do anything about it. You must act upon it. I have real problems with people who get up and say that all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. That is as incorrect as it possibly can be. And the reason why is because remember what it says in James, that even the who? The demons believe. Now, understand, if that statement is correct, that all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved, then the response is that the demons are going to be in heaven. Well, guess what? The demons aren't going to be in heaven. They're not going to be there. Faith requires action. And I want you to know what that verse, and I'm going to summarize it here in basically one word. Faith is without a doubt. That's three words. Faith is without a doubt. Faith is one word, knowing. Knowing. I know that God exists. That's faith. I know that God is the creator of all things. That is faith. I know that God loves me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. That is faith. I know that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. That is faith. I know without a doubt that God has prepared a place for me, that He has prepared a place for you, for us to be with Him for an eternity. I know that. That is faith, folks. That's what faith is. And with that in mind, nobody can come up to me and tell me any different. They can't say to me there is no God. Because I know there is. They can't say to me that there is no heaven. Because I know that there is. Under no circumstance could I sit back and say, those things don't exist. Because they do. I know they do. I know this. This is faith. Faith is knowing. And because you know, then you act on it. You act on it. When we pray to God through Jesus Christ, realize we pray knowing that He's going to answer our prayers. Now, He may not answer them in the way that you want them answered. I want you to know that. Because I've run into that many times before that I asked for something, God said, no, I want you over here. Or I want you doing this instead. If you're willing to go, then God will send you. I've learned that along the way. That if you're willing to go, if you're willing to be a part of what God wants you to do, then God will send you. He will. And what's also interesting about that God, even though sometimes you push and push and push and say, I want this, I want this, I want this, and then when you get it, God says, well, you really didn't want it in the first place. And He kind of sets up little roadblocks in the way that cause you to realize that this is really not where I want needed to be. God knows. God knows where you need to be. God knows what you need to be doing. And so therefore, God sets it up to where He directs us. Now, I want you to know something, that this congregation right here is, without a doubt, the best congregation I've ever been associated with. Okay? And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up your skirt. I think that's what they used to say. I'm not just saying that to get your attention and make your head swell. I'm saying that for this reason. It is true. It is absolutely true. We've had great numbers of baptisms since we have been here. We have had great numbers of growth since we have been here. And folks, that's not because of me. That's not because of one individual. That's because of all of you. Because all of you are working together to do what God wants you to do. And I push that a lot. If you haven't heard me push it, you haven't been listening. Because I'm telling you that the best way to bring somebody into this congregation today is through what I call relationship evangelism. You get to know that person. You get to have a relationship with that person. And then you bring them in. Knocking doors doesn't do it. Because if you go up and you knock somebody's door and you invite them to church, well, that's great that you did that, but I want you to know that most of the time when you knock somebody's door, you hand them a pamphlet or whatever and invite them to church, by the time they get back into their kitchen, they've already thrown that pamphlet away. They've already done it. But if you have a relationship with that person, if they know you, then guess what can happen? You can invite, and then someday they may come because you have that relationship. And folks, by you inviting, realize that's exactly what the woman at the well did. The woman at the well invited the people of the town to come and see because she said, "Is this the Messiah? Could this be the Messiah?" And the response was, they came to see. Folks, an easy way to invite is this. I found Jesus Christ. Why don't you come and find him too? Folks, that's how we get growth. And I want you to know that this congregation has been wonderful in doing that. Invite your next door neighbor. Invite those who are around you. And all of a sudden, they start coming. Now, folks, those are acts of faith. But I also want you to know this, that if you don't have faith, then you cannot invite. Have you ever thought of it in that manner? We've lost a lot of loved ones lately. And I want you to know that every time someone passes from this earth, it's a test of our faith. It is truly a test of our faith. Because it comes down to our faith realizing that they are in a better situation. Our faith realizing that they are with Jesus in paradise. Our faith realizing that those people, we will see again. Folks, that's what faith is. I know we will see those people again who died in Jesus Christ. You know why I know that? Because I have faith that I know that. That is why we know that we can see those people again. We will be with those people again. And we will be there with them in eternity. That is faith. And it's always a test. It's always a test. Realize that God did not bring about death. Satan did. Satan is the one who tempts us, not God. God cannot tempt. Only Satan can tempt. So realize that Satan was the one that brought it about, and therefore Satan brings it about to us today as a temptation to turn us away. A temptation to turn us away. So in order for us to win people to Christ, we must have faith. We must know. We must know that what the Bible teaches is true. We must know in our hearts and in our minds and in our being that there is a plan of salvation, and if we follow that plan of salvation, we will be saved. We must know that. And if we don't know it, then how can you go out and tell your brother or sister out in the world How can you go out and tell those people in the world that this is the plan of salvation when you yourself don't even believe it yourself? You must believe it. You must have faith in it. Now, here's my question for today. How do we know? How do we know? I got this lesson, basically, from another lesson that I heard when I took the day off and went to down to Mount Ida and went to a church there, a worship service there. And while I was there, the preacher got up and he asked the question, and he says, "Does Satan exist?" And the answer is, everybody said, "Oh, yeah, Satan exists." And he said, "How do you know?" Well, here's a question for you. How do you know? How do you know that God exists? How do you know that heaven exists? How do you know these things are with us? How do you know that we're all going to be in heaven together? Okay. People are saying it because the Bible teaches us that. The Lord tells us. Folks, that's how we know. And what I'm going to give to you today is some ways that we know in spiritual sense, not necessarily in physical sense, but in spiritual sense, I'm going to show you ways that we know that we can put our finger on and we can say, this is why I know that God exists. This is why I know that heaven exists. This is why I have my faith and no one can shake me from it. Here's the reasons. Let's start with the first one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. It says this, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us," what? "The Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." God has given us the Holy Spirit. I want you to go back in your mind. Some of you don't have to go back very far. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm going to say yet. But I want you to go back. And I want you to remember the day that you were baptized. Remember that day. I have the example of this lady. Had to be in her 90s. I'm not sure exactly how old she was, but she had to be in her 90s. She was baptized. And when she came up out of the water, she was clapping her hands and saying, "Glory to God." She was praising God. Folks, when you came up out of that water, how'd you feel? Wonderful. Absolutely great. I felt cleansed completely. And I've told you before, but when I came up out of the water, I said to myself, I said, "I'll never sin again." And that lasted about 30 minutes. But I want you to realize that when you come up out of that water, you realize at that point that you have something that the ordinary person in the world doesn't have. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides you. He directs you. He helps you in time of need. He teaches you what's right. He teaches you what's wrong. And He is the go-between between you and the Father so that every prayer that you raise up to God is 100% perfect in the sight of God. We have the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for that. Especially in our time of need. Because we do not have a high priest that does not understand what we're going through. And therefore, we can go boldly to the throne of God. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit dwells in us. He dwells in you. He is there with you today, right now. He helps you along the way. He guides you. He keeps you in line. He helps me to miss part of the game so I don't get mad. All those things happen because, realize, the Holy Spirit guides us. That's the first thing I want you to know. You have God living in you. You have Christ living in you. You have the Holy Spirit. Second, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We are no longer of the flesh. We're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. That Spirit dwells in us. But realize what it says right there at the bottom. That if you do not have that Spirit, God does not dwell in you. Now I can tell you, without a doubt in my mind whatsoever, that when I go to God in prayer, I know that I'm talking to God. I know the Spirit is dwelling in us. I know the Spirit is dwelling in me. I know God is with me all the time. And my mind all the time goes to that, to understand God is with me now. God is helping me now. Realize what that means. God is with us. The Spirit dwells in us. And if the Spirit does not dwell in us, then we do not have God. We do not have Christ. Therefore, how can you find joy? How can you find peace? How can you find happiness? How can you have hope without the Spirit? Doesn't exist. Third, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this, that God has sealed us for the day of redemption. Now, what does that mean to be sealed? At the time that this was written, realize that what they did was when they've had a letter that they would send it to somebody, they would fold it up in a certain manner, and then they would put a seal on it, which was usually wax, and they'd take their ring and put on there to show that that letter is sealed and it is only for the person that it is sent to. It also shows that it has not been opened or contaminated or dealt with in any way. And so therefore, that is sealed. Folks, do you realize that God has sealed you? We are His. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be contaminated. It cannot be opened because God only has you. No one else. We are God's. We are sealed in Him. And if you look at this one in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 9 through 10, realize what that meant. That we are God's. We have been bought with a price. In Jeremiah 32, it tells, I bought the field. I signed and sealed the deed. God bought us with His Son, Jesus Christ. He bought us with the blood of Christ. We are His. Therefore, He has sealed us. He has signed the deed. We are His people. And therefore, when somebody asks you, who are you? My response is this: I am God's. I am God's. I have been sealed with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been purchased. What for? For an eternity. It cannot be taken away. Romans 8, 38 and 39 tells us this: For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. We cannot be taken away. Now, I got in a discussion one time about falling from grace with an individual. And this individual used these verses. It's not talking about falling from grace here. It's talking about that nothing can take you away from God. But you always have the choice. Realize that. We have the choice to follow God, or we have the choice not to follow God. It is always our choice. So the idea that you yourself can't choose to go another way is incredibly wrong. But what that is saying is this: that nothing out there in the world can take you away from the love of God. There's nothing that can. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." He is with us. We cannot be taken away from that. He will always be there for us. In times of hardship, in times of need, whatever it is, He will always be there for us. Now realize what I've given you here is some interesting verses dealing with why we know that we are God's. We know we are God's. We cannot be taken away. We are sealed. We've been bought with a price. We have the Spirit that dwells in us, who guides us, who helps us in our prayers, who teaches us what is right and what is wrong. We know these things. But also know this about those of us who have faith: we look forward to that day when the trumpet shall sound and the voice of the archangel shall shout and the clouds will be rolled back like scrolls, and we will be caught up together with those who have gone on before us in the clouds, and there we shall reign forever and ever with Christ our Lord and Savior. Because we wait eagerly for that day, we hope for that day, we look forward to that day. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. And this world, and I want you to know, this world is a bad place. There are things that are happening in this world I don't like very much. There are things that are happening in this world that I can guarantee you that God doesn't like. But I look forward to the day that we won't have to deal with this world anymore. But we will be with God forever in His kingdom, feeding off of His tree of life, drinking from the river of life, where every tear will be wiped away. For there will be no more death, no more parting, no more sorrow, no more sin. And folks, that is exactly what we need to do. We need to praise God because we have that faith, we have that knowledge that these things exist. And therefore, when it comes time for us to leave this world, whether Jesus comes back first or whether or not we fall asleep before Jesus comes back. Either way, we look forward to the day that we can be with Christ forever. This is what we seek. This is why we look forward to it. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this. Realize the Lord is not slow about His promises. He is patient. He is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Folks, that's why we're still here. Because God is not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. That is why we are still here today, because we are God's spokespeople. We are the ones who are to go out into the world and teach the gospel to every creature. We are the ones who are to have that relationship evangelism that I'm talking about. We invite our neighbors, we invite our friends, we bring them in. Why? Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. And every person on this earth is a soul that God wants in heaven with Him. Every person. So folks, while we are here on this earth today, we need to make it a special point that we talk to those people, that we bring them to Christ, that we invite them in, and realize that all you're required to do is to plant. All you're required to do is water. Because God's going to give the increase. God will open their heart and they will come. If you look at people that are here today, right here, right now, I would venture to say that the vast majority of you that are here today because somebody invited you to come. I'm here today because I got a phone call from Philip inviting me to come. That's why I'm here. Folks, most of us are here because of that. Some of us may be here because you moved into the community and wanted a place to go to church, wanted a place to go and worship. This is what we want. Okay? This is what we want. I wasn't going to leave that hanging. Some of us are here because of that. But most of us are here is because you had a relationship with somebody and they invited you to come. I want you to know that some of you that are visiting with us today are here exactly because of that, because I see who you're sitting next to. Folks, that's our job. When you invite, you plant. When somebody teaches, they water. And then God gives the increase. So while we are still here on this earth, our job is to plant and to water. And let God give that increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. I want you to realize this. That day, on that day, we will be changed. We will be turned from that which is perishable to that which is imperishable. In the twinkling of an eye, we will turn. We will be changed. We will become immortal. And we will receive the blessings, the total promises of God. This is what we hope for. This is what we hope for. I want you to know Bobby's service yesterday. There was a song that I had never heard of before. It was entitled, When Faith Ends. I believe that was the name of the song. And the idea is that our faith stops when we see, when we are face to face with God. Because faith will be replaced by sight. And so realize that day that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, that we won't need faith anymore because we will have everything that God has promised. This is the joy that we have here on this earth. And I want you to know that joy comes from knowing that God exists. That joy comes from knowing that the promises will be fulfilled. That joy comes from knowing that we have a place with God in heaven for all eternity. Realize that joy. And then go out into the world and share it with all people. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, to be added to that kingdom, we want to give you that opportunity to come right now while together we stand and sing.